Turning with me to the 41st chapter of Isaiah and reading at verse 10. I respect all translations, but it's like one dear brother said on television. I heard him the other day. He said, "Would you all read with me from your Bibles?" He said, "No, stop. With all the translations, it'll sound like the Tower of Babel." That's the only problem with too many translations out there. But there's one that I am giving title to today, a 50-year promise. Has anyone ever had a set of tires that wore for 50 years? Anyone had a car, unless you've restored it, had a car that you could drive for 50 years? House, yes. Not much, too much to wear out there, as long as the roof doesn't leak and you have some walls around you. But I want to share from the Word of God today, from Isaiah 41:10, a 50-year promise. I've been helping people all week long with Isaiah 41:10. I went to bed with four messages spread out in the kitchen, and God woke me up and after a couple of hours rest. And I'll tell you, all those four messages, just all everything went back to Isaiah 41:10. You've heard it before, you're going to hear it again. And I pray, God, that I can preach it as I've not preached it before, and you'll hear it as you've not heard it before. A 50-year promise. I said a 50-year promise. A 50-year promise from God's Word. And it's still working today. I said it's still working today. Hallelujah. A 50-year promise from God's Word. And it's still working today. Works for me. And I trust that it will work for you as we look into God's Word today. Fear thou not. Did you get that? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, discouraged, disillusioned. Dis is not good. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea. Yea. Ho. Yea. I will help thee. Yea. I don't know where I've been overlooking that yea. Yea. I will hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness. Yay. Hey. Wake up. See it. Hey, hey. Yay. Yay. And I award the translation of the year to King James on Isaiah 41:10. Amen. Just don't switch it around on me. Don't change it. It's working. 1964, God gave me this verse. When there was no money, no people, denomination said you can't do it, and a certain amount of people said you can't do it, building inspector said you can't remodel it, architect said you can't do what you propose to do. But yay! God said something different. Yay! It's going to be it's a fun Sunday. I can tell that. Praise God. Yay! I want to give you some excuses for failure. and some promises for success and victory. You say, well, Pastor Nichols, I'm afraid. We all battle fear one way or another. But God said, fear thou not. It's settled. It's not subject to debate. The one that made the heaven and the earth said, don't fear. It'll bite you. It'll hurt you. Ruin your day, ruin your week, and ruin the rest of your life. And I've said it before and I say it again, any mistake, whether it's in personal finances or I've learned a lot, or church or whatever, any mistake I've made has been a mistake that had roots in fear. What would you do if your faith told you that you could do it? Now, I know this has to be right, and this doesn't mean that you just run every stoplight and tell the preacher to jump off a cliff, and, you know, I've gone through enough of that, okay? But I'm telling you, honest to God, when you know in your heart that God is working, fear thou not. Over 365 times in the Word of God, fear not. One for every day. And I believe there's a few left over. It's the most often repeated commandment in the Bible. It's not an option. Because God knew the outcome. It's not an option. The most often repeated commandment in the Bible is fear thou not. And God's simple, straight answer to that is, fear thou not. You fear not. So when you feel fear, look in the mirror and say, you. No. Fear thou not. And it may take you a little while to catch on if you're slow. But after a while, you'll hear the voice of God saying, yes, that's what I said. Fear thou not. Fear hath torment. It'll torment your mind. It will torment your body. It will torment your family. It has a trickle down, even tsunami effect if you leave it alone. But I'm just so afraid. I'm so afraid. That's why I feel like I'm going to fail, whatever. I'm so afraid. And God said, well, let's just cut to the chase. Fear thou not. If you see that's where it's taking you, don't follow that road. It's just like when Joe and I were on our honeymoon up in Colorado, and I decided we'd go to Denver through what I thought was the Black Forest from Colorado Springs. We started out on road, no instructions. That road finally turned to gravel, and gravel finally turned to ruts, and ruts finally turned to, you can't hardly go much further. With Joy saying, Bob, I don't think this is the right road. Well, you know how men are. We follow the radiator cap. You know, we don't bother me with the facts. I feel like, and I've really felt, you think I would have put my little Ford through all that misery? I mean, we were dragging high center. I felt I was on the right road. Did you ever try to back up a few miles? Eating crow all the way? Not increasing the faith in your wife's heart that my husband knoweth all? Ladies, sometimes just let us be us. We may never admit it, but we learn from it. Don't rub it in, please. Joy was kind. She didn't rub it in. But I'm so afraid. God said, fear thou not. You know, these expressions are so simple. Fear, fear not. You know, your faith or feelings will win daily. Your faith or your fears will win daily. And really the truth of the matter is they'll win by the hour sometimes. Sometimes they'll win by the minute. You'll win by what gear you're operating in. And you can't go forward and backward at the same time. Faith and fear clash. Fear is of Satan. Faith is of God. Fear hath torment. And faith is the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Well, so reasons why, or excuses why we feel, well, I'm so afraid. Well, there's another one here, but I feel so alone. We've all been there. Now, some of you not, you know, maybe more so than others. But I feel so alone. But listen to the simple promise here. Wait a minute, child of God. Excuse me. I am with thee. Alone? Come on. Alone? When I am the great I am. Moses said, unless you go with me, I don't want to go. The great I am. Well, who will I tell Pharaoh sent me? You tell him I am. You give him the calling card of I am incorporated. I am. Sure, we all have times of loneliness. You can be lonely in a crowd. You can be around people that love you and appreciate you and all of that, and there can be a loneliness there for reasons that may vary with different people. But he said, fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, discouraged, disheartened. He said, I am your God. What's your problem? I am. Where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to go? I am your God. Well, I don't worship idols and I'm not a heathen. But for some reason, there's been a disconnect with the fact that he said, I am thy God. I'm not only with you. He said, I am your God. I am your God. Folks, the problem is, I'd rather you get this verse in your heart and in your spirit than read 15 chapters right now. Zero in on the fact God says, I don't have to fear. And we'll talk to you about how to get out of that in a few moments. Because he said, I am with thee. And be not dismayed. Disconnected, dismayed, discouraged. Dis is not good, as I said a while ago. For I am thy God. God has no disconnects. You talk about a hotline, God's the hotline. God's the bottom line. And so you say, but wait a minute, Pastor, you don't understand. I feel so weak. Join the club. The Bible said even the youths shall be weary. No matter how much energy your grandkids have, they can run down. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew the great exchange, renew their strength. Their weakness for my strength. They that wait upon the Lord. Your prayer time is not just a laundry list of telling God what you want him to do. Your prayer time is waiting on the Lord. And that word wait. The word wait literally means. How many ever remember seeing a rope that holds a ship? Have you ever seen a rope that holds one of those big ships that doxa. Wait simply means the weaving together of all that. You could break that rope when it was first started, but you're not going to break it now. I'm going to break it. And that rope intertwined is so strong and so together that that ship, even though the waters and the dock and wind and pressures may come against it. Folks, that's exactly part of what happens when we come to church. Are you listening to me? And God bless everyone that watches this service by streaming. Man, there are people out there, it's the only way you can get the house of God. But I tell you, there are some situations where people just don't want to be committed. It's so nice not have to go forward with my tithe. It's so nice not to be an obligation to a church or a pastor. But I'm telling you, this morning, I don't know about you, but my weave, I've become interwoven. My rope stronger because I came to church this morning. I said, my rope is stronger because I came to church this morning. You've made my rope stronger, and I trust I've made your rope stronger. As we're worshiping Him together, as we're fellowshipping in His Word, there's a weaving together, and it holds the ship of life firm at the dock. Hallelujah. Holds it firm. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But I'm so weak. But God said, I will strengthen you. Psalms 27 said, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord. The Lord is the strength of my life. When there's not a soul in sight, when there's not one ray of hope, when there's not a penny or a dime in your pocket, when the future looks bleak and you don't know what the outcome's going to be, God said, I will strengthen you. When your strength is gone, my strength has only begun. Whew. It's strong up here. I hope it's that. Oh, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. You say, but you know, I just don't have the right help. You know, if I just don't have the help that some folks have. It's who you know. That's what I'm trying to get over to you. You know, well, Pastor, you know a lot of people. You know, no matter who I think I know and no matter who I know, there's no one any stronger I know than Almighty God. No one, no one, no one, nobody, no source, no one. And I know some strong people. I've been associated with some of the greatest men and women of God on the face of the earth. I could pick up my phone and call a number of them anytime I need to, or that it would be appropriate to. But you know, there comes a time when it's just you and God. And there is no other answer. There is no other way. There is no other currency. There is no other legal advice. There is no other construction. There is no other help than the help of Almighty God. God said, I will help you. I will help you. I mean, what do you want? Help. God said, I am help. And you know, as you go through, especially Isaiah, this 41st chapter, Isaiah is just full of help. My Lord have mercy. I love Isaiah. It is, and you know, isn't it exciting? They had it here in Fort Worth for several months. Over in Israel, you can find. Did you know that they have literally found all of Isaiah? Now, there's some portions of the Bible that no one could lead us to today. But did you know I saw Isaiah 41:10 in Israel? The original, those Dead Sea Scrolls. I mean, what God said, it would be true if I saw it or not. It would be true if I saw it or not. But I have seen with my eyes, Isaiah 41:10, where God said, I will strengthen you. I will help you. And God doesn't grade on the curve. God doesn't speak half-truths. I mean, when God says something, you can go to the bank with it. I mean, you better know God said it to go to the bank with it, but I've done that one too. Yeah, no one to help me. I was thinking of the fifth chapter of John, man by the pool of Bethesda. Been there all of those years. And Jesus comes up to him and offers help. He said, I have no man to help me. Would you be made whole? Who are you, sir? No one cares about me. When the waters are troubled and the angel comes down, I'm the last in, so nothing ever happens with me through all these years. I have no man. I have no man. Now, you singles, be encouraged. Ruth Graham said, thank God for unanswered prayer or I wouldn't have married Billy. She had her eyes on some other flashing young evangelist. But she said, thank God that prayer wasn't answered for the wrong man. And God gave me Billy. God gave me the right man. Until you meet Mr. or Mrs. Miss Wright, just shout your loneliness away. I told a frustrated young lady a while back, I said, one more year without a bad husband. That's so right, you know it's right. And it goes both ways. Hey. Okay, I've done my psychology class here now. I have no man. But I love, let me paraphrase what Jesus said. I'm your man. I'm your man. I am your man. You have no man? You've got one now. The man Christ Jesus. Whew. No one to help me. Yea, I will help you. Thank God, thank God. Well, Pastor, you know how it is. People fail all the time. And, you know, what if I fail? Now, you have to know God in what I'm telling you. I mean, this will work in a general sense. And sometimes you have to fine-tune it and leave it to God. I mean, that's the ultimate. But what if I fail? Well, you can be involved in the wrong endeavor. You may be helping the wrong person. Somebody may be putting a guilt trip on you to give them something that you don't have any business giving somebody. And I'm going to say to people with your money, watch your money. Even around a church, watch your money. Watch your money. Be wise. Be wise how you handle. Amen. Your finances. But what if I fail? God said, if you're doing... Again, let me paraphrase. If you're doing what God said for you to do, God said, I will hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, how are you going to go under with the right hand of God's righteousness underneath you? Amen. And I know some of us, we've been through the water, we've been through the flood, but I'm a lot smarter than I used to be. Ooh, I'm so much smarter. Not smart enough, but I'm smarter than I used to be. What if I go under? No way. God said, I'll hold you up. You know, this has been true so many times in traveling. I'm a pastor at heart. I love people. And my first call is pastor. And it has been even as an associate minister and then pastoring for these years since 1964. But I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to know that God will see you through and to encourage people that God will see them through. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. I said, it's a wonderful thing to know that you know that you know that you know, and to love people and to help people. And Brother Myers, he said, you know, every time you've spoken for us, I said, you always encourage the ministries. It's part of my DNA. It just comes out before I can catch it. I mean, sometimes on an airplane, I start trying to be a pastor to somebody. Someone has a need. Flight attendant seemed a little frustrated about something. And finally, before the flight was over, she said, would you please pray for me? Please pray for me. That's happened so many times. But the thing that I want to get over to is, how can we go under? So that's not going to work if I'm afraid. He said, fear thou not. If I'm alone, he said, I am with you. How can you be alone with him with you? But I get so discouraged or dismayed. I am your God. How can you stay weak when the strength of the ages is with you, Almighty God? And how can you not have anyone to help you when God said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to lift you up. And then how can you go under? How can you go under if God says you can go over? But I'm just trying to think. I can't think of one serious, long ministry opportunities. I don't think that has ever been afforded me, whether it was to Australia. We've been there numerous times, different places. When I got on that airplane, I had to just take authority because the devil said, what in the world are you doing on this airplane? What are you going to tell them when you get there? You ought to be home. You ought to do this. You ought to do that. And somehow, every time I got there, the Holy Ghost was there. I said, when I got there, the Holy Ghost was there. And I couldn't tell you how many times that's happened as a pastor in a church. I mean, you know, blow in, blow up, and blow out. Hey, glory to God. I'm talking about, you know, within reason. You come in and you don't have to worry about who does this or who says this or who did that or who left or who's mad. You don't have to check arms at the door. I mean, you just come in and just preach your heart and just blow and go and get on that plane and you're out of there. When you pastor, you wouldn't believe some of the things that pastors go through between Sundays. And then we're supposed to get up and speak as an oracle of God without a care in the world. Ain't it great, you know? When you've dealt with, I mean, sometimes the sewer of life or other times things that are indescribable. But that's a shepherd. That's a pastor. A shepherd gets his hands dirty with the sheep. Sheep need a shepherd, whether they realize it or not. If a sheep gets on his back with a full coat of wool, he's dead. He's gone unless the shepherd's dog finds him or the shepherd finds him. He cannot right himself. If he ever gets on his back, he's had it. Sheep can wander off. There's all kinds of things that Pastor Bill Knott has shared with me as a former shepherd. Brother and sister, we need one another. I need the body of Christ. You need the body of Christ. But how many times do we go through things and you think, oh God, help me. And you know what? He heard that. And he said, I was waiting for that. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I'll take print off the page and put life into it. I'll anoint you with my Holy Spirit. Just relax and enjoy the journey and watch the power of the gospel. But you know, coming back to this fear thing, I know we brought messages on no fear here after 9/11. I don't know what may have a hold on you as a person, but I've experienced so many fears in people's lives, and we've all come through them. The fear of the unknown, the fear of future, the fear of failure, the fear of never measuring up. I remember as a young minister, I thought, will I ever? I had people say, it just won't work, but it did. Oh, before I discovered faith and grace, so many fears. Thank God for Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, who took Joe and I under his wing, and we'd had good instruction, and I thank God for the input of wonderful, wonderful ministers. But as we sat in their little 18-foot travel trailer, pretty cramped, he said, I believe God sent us to Fort Worth to minister to you and Sister Joy. Time after time, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin began to pour faith into our spirit. And we stopped being the children of luck, good luck or bad luck, blessed. And we started seeing the Word of God for what it is, that if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. We started understanding that without faith it is impossible to please God. And through the Word of God, where it said several times, the just shall live by faith. Whether it's Habakkuk or Romans or Hebrews, or the just shall live by faith. I mean, no matter how successful you've been in music, there comes a time when it all seems to come to nothing, and what are you going to do now? Brother John Hall's traveled all over the world. But I know without even asking him, because it's true in all of our lives. No matter what measure of success all of us have, there come times if you didn't have faith in God, honey, you might as well cash it in. It's over. You chunk your faith. You throw your faith away and you've had it. Whether you sit on the first row or the last row, you throw your faith away and you're in for a rough ride. There's only one way through, and that's up. I said there's only one way out of any kind of a jam or a mess or whatever. It's up. Up. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. Fear can crush your spirit, ruin your relationships. There's people all of their life, they just keep having one tragedy after another because they're ruled by fear. Fear will keep you from having a decent relationship with a friend or with a companion. It'll consume your mind. That's all you think about. It will control your body. Yes, it affects you physically. And fear has even killed only God knows how many people. But God wants to break you free from all fear. And I think I could safely say there may be a few of you who got your halo this week and earned your wings with our dear brother from It's a Wonderful Life. But every last one of us, every once in a while, have our favorite pet fear that we have to deal with. It's something you thought was gone 5 years ago, but it knocks on the door again, rings the doorbell again, and the only way you're going to defeat it now is the way you defeated it then, in the name of Jesus, by faith in God. And the beautiful thing about it is, you know, whether it's Noah, Moses, Abraham, Esther, Gideon, David, Peter, or Paul. Paul faced times of fear. Where in the world do you think the 8th chapter of Romans came from? Being consumed by fear and anxiety and worry is not just a weakness. We're disobeying God by not trusting His Word. You said, well, that's just the way our family is. It's about time you graduated from your family. Break that cycle. That's why it's so important to overcome our fears. And Paul tells us just the way to do that, 2 Timothy 1:7. Oh, it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. He says that we can overcome through power, love, and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Don't pet that thing. Don't feed that thing. God didn't give it to you. You're feeding the wrong animal. You're feeding the wrong pet. That pet will bite you. My. Oh, thank God. I believe the first step out of fear is just begin to just look up to God. And acknowledge that and just say, in the name of Jesus, this thing's ruled my life long enough. Fear will no longer rule my life. Fear will no longer rule my life. Fear will no longer rule my life. Amen. Oh, you say, but you don't understand what I've got going for me. If you're sick, he says, I am your healer. Don't give up on that. Are you struggling financially? He said, the word of God said, my God shall supply all of your need. Are you worried? He said, I am your peace. Are you lonely? He said, I am your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Are your kids in trouble? Oh, I tell you, he's a deliverer. He's a present help in the time of trouble. Are you in a battle? He's the God of battles. He's the Lord of hosts. And even if there's sin in your life, he said, I'm the Savior that not only saved you, but I'll give you victory. Think about it. Think about it, child of God. 365 times, the most often repeated commandment in the Bible is to fear not. And we just keep on doing it. Dumb, dumb, dumb. When are we going to learn? I drink from the same fountain you drink from. I mean, sometimes I'm in traffic and something just start rolling and I let it roll for a while because I'm trying to negotiate the freeway when I should have said, whoa, do what you got to do. Take authority. Don't let that thing dominate your mind. Don't let that seed grow. Don't let it grow. Don't let it grow. Remember, God is for you, in you, and with you. Oh, the other day I was listening to a song. And the song went like this. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. And then it rocked on for a while and it kept coming back to that. Break every chain. I wish I could sing it like I heard it. Break every chain. Break every chain. Don't break some chains. Break every chain. Jesus breaks every fetter. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. I sense it in my spirit. There are those here this morning that in the last, you say, but you don't understand the last few hours, last few days, maybe the last few weeks, maybe the last few months. I mean, every hope in me has just fallen at my feet. I'm here to tell you that the rest of your life starts this morning on the God side of the ledger. The rest of your life starts this morning on the God side of the ledger. He breaks every chain. Breaks every chain. Breaks every chain. I said, he breaks every chain. Not some chains. He breaks every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. We've sung it through the years. One of the old choruses of faith. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. And he sets me free. So if you're on a dead-end street, you're up against a concrete wall, somebody pushed you off the high diving board and you didn't intend to dive. I don't know what your situation may be, or all your life people have called you a loser, you old Jabez, old gloomy Jabez. My. Thank God today is your day of new beginnings. I said today is your day of new beginnings. I said, today is your day of new beginnings. I still occasionally meet people in this area because I've lived here all these years. Before I ever even have a casual conversation with them, whether it's in a 7-Eleven or a car wash, the same old rag they've been chewing for the last 10, 15, 20, 40 years, they start chewing that old rag again. Honey, I don't live chewing an old rag. Thank God I live by the blood-stained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a mess, but God brought me out. I was defeated, but God gave me victory. I was headed for hell, but God saved me. I was born again but miserable, and then I discovered faith in God and all that it can mean. Oh, you don't have to stay the same. I said, you don't have to stay the same. Amen. We have marriages in this room that would have been gone a long time ago, but Jesus broke every fetter. And on the story could go. Fear thou not. I am with thee. Don't be dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen you. What better strength is there? I will help you. I will hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness. Break every chain. Break every chain. Wished I had that song to play for you right now. Now, I tell you, I thought I was going to have a rapture and leave my car there for a while. Praise be unto God. Regardless of what bondage may have come to your life, I'm here to tell you as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, thank God that Jesus came to break every fetter. I said, he came to break every fetter. He came to break every fetter. Last few hours, we were just a few hours ago in Mexico City. Evangelist D.H. Phillips and Wayne Myers came out of the same church. I believe it was in San Diego somewhere. Came off a Navy ship of World War II. Brother Phillips went on to be the Lord in his 80s, and Brother Myers, of course, was celebrating his 92nd birthday. I was just thinking how that God took two young men, filled them with the power of the Holy Ghost, saved them gloriously, filled them with the power of the Holy Ghost, and then sent Brother Phillips across North America and Canada and all of the United States. And here Brother Wayne Myers is still alive. And I'm telling you, that was one of the most electrifying meetings I've been in some time, and I was so honored to be a part of it. I tried to get a bio. I was trying to get more information about missionary statesman evangelist Wayne Myers. He said, no, my boy. He said, I'm just using my birthday as an excuse to get preachers together so you can encourage them. What a man. What a man. He even told them that. He said, this is why we have this occasion. He said, I knew this man would encourage you. I knew he, and there were ministers there that were on the verge of quitting, throwing in the towel. But God brought them through. The word of God, folks, he breaks every chain. He breaks every chain. He breaks every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's power in the name of Jesus. He breaks every chain, breaks every chain. Stand to your feet, if you will. My, you've been such a marvelous audience to minister to today. You know, probably not room enough, but we could try. After all these years of preaching, I still have to make a decision between faith and fear. You think we've come 50 years without having in the pit faith battles? Dear God, no.